Okay, Nanda, are you ready?
Yep.
Reporting live from the beating hearts of Nutmeg Country.
Cable actuated and opinionated.
This is Alt Bike Now.
Alternative radio.
For alternative cyclists.
Oh my gosh.
I'm Buddy Romance.
And I'm Aria Summer Time.
Because it's summertime. It was last week too, though, wasn't it? Aria's second week of summertime. How's that?
That's your
Christian name.
Oh my God, I don't have a Christian name. I am a Buddhist.
Okay,
a bad one,
folks.
But
yeah.
A Buddhist nevertheless.
Okay,
come
folks.
On now.
Well, that's going to be the catchphrase of the next month plus.
I'm a Buddhist. Come on now.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us here on this beautiful late June morning, the last day of June here in Nutmeg Country. And
I'm Aria Summer because this week is going to be really hot. And
yeah,
we're finally
getting that European heat wave.
Yeah, to us always a little too late, doesn't it, Jamie? But here we are. Thank you for joining us again for another installment. We have some thanking to do because we've gotten some more supporters. Jamie, you want to talk about what we're at per month?
$133 a month.
That's right.
Wow.
We're up to that, which is
nuts. That's so many ice creams. But let's, you know.
So we've got Hannah and Owen.
People must be really trying to fatten us up. That must be what this is all about.
I mean, it is ice cream season.
Yeah.
But it's a monthly reoccurring thing, folks. So we are going to be eating ice cream for a while. So Hannah and Owen from the Wood Cyclery in UK, they sent us a really sweet note along with their contribution. Thank you so much. I can't wait to meet you, Hannah.
Shout out Wood Cyclery. What a shop.
What a shop.
In the New Forest. You've heard us talk about it in podcasts of old. Mm-hmm. But check them out. Check them out. If you're anywhere near the UK, I would highly recommend doing a visit.
Don't you feel like New England is just like...
It's just like old England?
You wish.
Yeah, you wish you were.
You wish you were. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Hannah and Owen. We also have Evan W. Browns. Hope I'm saying that right. Thank you, Evan. There's Stephen Tracy. Jabba Jim.
Jabba Jim, baby.
Jim Tron. Thank you. And Jose. Jose O. Jose O, thank you so much.
If you were to tell me... If my high school guidance counselor were to tell me that someday I'd be earning $133 a month podcasting.
What would you tell?
Well, a month.
You would tell your guidance counselor to go back to sleep and keep dreaming.
Yeah.
23 active supporters. Thank all y'all. We've thanked pretty much everyone.
Maybe we should.
One by one.
Maybe we should do like a self-help video on... I made $133 a month podcasting once a week.
Is that self-help or is that just an advertisement? A side hustle. This is kind of our side hustle, but we really enjoy it. So thank y'all for that support.
Thank you
for the fan mail. We will be doing a special fan mail episode. As you know, we'll keep that going. And just a reminder that, we are... bringing this to you on Tuesdays now, which works out so much better for our weekly workflow. And the way that we're going to structure the show is headlines, hot shit first, then real life report backs, then either tell them why you're mad or what's in the bike stand, because we're not mad all the time. Mm. And yeah, we'll do a special episode of just tell them why you're mad from listeners, but we have to generate that because
y'all are
a happy bunch.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, we need to get a little bit madder.
I know the summer heat should heat up our tempers
maybe,
right?
So
and seeing a bunch of other riders on the road, you could be like, "What the fuck was that? That just went through."
We saw some more riders to get us mad. More
and
ankle socks to get us mad.
Ooh, don't even talk about those ankle socks.
And stick around. I mean, we're doing the pro racing, pro sport gossip stuff at the end now. We used to start with it. And I will say I've been getting a lot of messages from people saying, bring it back to the front. We love your pro sports takes and how wrong, you get the stats and things like that. That's like people seem to think that that's an alt take on facts. So in the post-truth world, we have alternative facts.
Maybe we'll bring it back, but hell no. Like, we're going to stick to this for a little while.
But it is, I'm feeling a little bit woozy. Tour de France is coming. So, I mean, I think it's kind of for jumping ahead here.
So that is the structure, headlines, real life, the section on what's in the Bike Standard, Tell Them Why You're Mad, racing, pro sports gossip, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, but, ma'am, sweetie, let me just generate something here.
Okay.
Generating. Okay, it's sipping some water.
Generating.
Okay. Generating. Yeah. Boom. Okay, wow. REI. REI has a bike with two handlebars. If you missed this headline this week, folks, I don't know where you were, but you know,
because even Ronnie got it.
Even I got this one. And yeah. I mean, contrary to popular belief, I'm not online that much, and I saw this.
Yeah, he's got his Instagram usage down to a science. Me, not so much. I keep erasing it. I'm on the desktop sometimes. Yeah. I'm supposed to be on a complete cleanse.
I'll come in and I'll see you on the toilet with your laptop on your lap on Instagram.
Well, that's other things.
Okay. but, you know.
The bathroom is my safe space.
If you missed it, folks, I don't know if you could still look it up. I guess you would just like Google REI AI.
There's a Business Insider article about it that talks about all of the ways in which like the marketing and business side of things from like Meta AI ads have failed. But. Yeah, this is an REI ad
featuring. This is on REI's Instagram.
An ad for Van Rysel.
Is that
how you say it?
Maybe it was Van Dysel. I thought that was the Decathlon in-house brand, but maybe there's a connection there. I may be just the van part, maybe just throwing me off. But
so many vans.
Regardless, I mean, it's a bicycle. It's like a nice little country pat, or it could
it's
be
like
just
a park.
Like park.
It looks like Central Park.
And
there's a female cyclist with blonde hair. She's a white woman with this bike,
buckling the helmet,
everything.
That all checks out.
It looks
it's a high
okay, but then you look down at the bike and it's got two handlebars, sticking out of the saddle.
Yeah, it's a hybrid. We got a hybrid bike, but not
so
hybrid
weird.
By use case. This is hybrid by its half. The front half is a flat bar and the rear half is a drop bar. So I guess you could just turn around and pedal backwards and you would have.
It's
AI generated. That's not real.
I hate to tell you, sweetheart, but no one rides bikes that look like this.
Oh, darn it. So they're not selling this? This is just a false advertising?
It's just weird. I mean, the Business Insider article, again, goes into the bits and bobs.
I mean,
what happened.
It's pretty wild how these outdoor brands, you know, granted, REI is, I mean, it is a co-op. You know, REI has all this. I don't think people really understand fully what is going on at REI. Like, REI is an outdoor. You know, an outdoor retail business, and they are publicly traded. So they've got people at the top being like, we need to squeeze more money out of this because now the pandemic boom is over. People aren't buying as much outdoor gear or whatever. I don't know.
We don't know what's going on.
We don't know what the hell is going on at REI.
We're just making things up.
But,
like usual. The thing that's weird about this ad. Is, yeah, whatever's happening at the back end of REI, it seems like from a Reddit post I pulled up that there's employees saying they're doing more AI trainings. Like this, the AI integration into our lives, all the businesses, everything obviously has been going on for a while. But this ad is really weird because the model in the ad is an actual person who did an actual shoot for this this bike company and REI. Like, it was already a paid thing. That's Amity Rockwell. Shout out Amity. They won Unbound in 2019 and was being very helpful with the Name the Change campaign. Did her best. Is a decent, very decent, lovely person. And she also posted, I follow her on Instagram. She also posted this ad being like, what the heck? That's me. Like, I did this shoot. Why is there an AI version of this? There's actual photographs. What was the point of this? So
I guess the story goes that they used Meta's AI marketing tools. So yeah. Red flag there. I guess you don't want to do that because you could end up with a drop handlebar protruding out of your butt.
It's so weird, but also because this is like an outdoors company using some of the most harmful things for the outdoors, which are like these AI data processing centers for learning language models. Like, it is sucking up all of our water.
At the same time, I feel like there's a lot of like posturing when it comes to like, oh, I'm not using AI, I am using AI, as far as like these bigger brands go.
Well, you got to pick a side.
I don't think they have there's no sides. Like, sides are, we're post sides.
No, we're not.
Well,
I think
these brands are.
Well, these brands are,
because
they're part of the other
side.
Short
that people's attention spans. They're not on the outside. People's attention spans. Yeah, right. In the mainstream
world. Are you saying that you're
world,
pro AI, Ron?
No, I'm not.
Ron is official. New information. Ron is.
I think that people's attention spans in the corporate world, you know, corporate marketing, I think they're counting on people's attention spans being so short that they could change their stance on these things like over and over again. And it just doesn't.
It's a gamble, and people do have attention spans because they've been noticing, and people are so mad about this.
Yeah, yeah. But by next month, I'm sure they will not be anymore.
You sound like a Republican.
What's wrong?
Shiny new object.
Yeah. Okay. So.
All right. Ron is a fully AI computer model.
I'm basically a bot.
He's no longer human.
I am a bot. Give me your passwords, people. Instead of money this week, please just send your passwords. I promise to keep them safe.
Send your passwords to this large language model called Ron. He will take all of your water bottles off of your bike and drink it himself. He will.
I'll pee in all of your water bottles.
Anyway, let's move on from AI slot because AI makes me uncomfortable and it brings out
that's
weird
real.
Reviews.
Whatever is going to happen with it, we'll see. We will see. But yeah, right now it's a pretty funny space.
I think that the thing to take away from this is AI is something that's coming, that's here, that's going to be a part of our lives. What we really need to focus on is that making sure that communities, that these data processing centers that supports AI large language models are not detrimental to the health, safety, and the longevity of ecosystems and communities that they set up in. And right now, it seems like that is not a thing that is available to people in communities. And that's why folks all over the country are saying no to these data processing centers, because it is making their animals weird, like people who have farms.
How are brands like REI going to generate their ads at a decent cost?
You know?
So, yeah.
Let's move on. We also had the Tour Divide finish last week. As you remember, we were broadcasting and Victor Abassoni was just about to finish. He did. We're right
in
the prediction.
Yeah, we were hours before him finishing. And
I was following the dot.
And it was last week when we were recording, while he was maybe 2 hours away from finishing, it was 108 degrees in Antelope Wells.
Fuck out of here.
So, Yikes. Wow. So, yeah, he finished in that sort of heat.
And then goes back home to France to...
Well, I think he was
back to another heat wave.
I wonder if he did go right back to France. But he finished. I mean, this was a crazy record to break. His ride took 11 days, 8 hours, and 27 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That is 14.9 miles an hour if you ride 16 miles a day.
16 hours a day.
I'm sorry, 16 miles a day. I've got too many stats in front of me. I'm not great with numbers, folks. 238 miles a day, 16 hours a day. That comes out to 14.9 miles an hour average, which is blistering.
That's not even considering the time that you need for restocking in that 16 hours.
That is cons- Well, that is considering if you rode for 16 hours a day straight, 16 hours of riding time. That's what I was basing that off of.
Right. And in that time, and you are going to stop and get snacks.
Well, he said he did 5 hours of, he stopped for 8 hours a day and it was 5 hours of sleep. And the rest of the time was like, you know, just picking off saddle sores and, you know, washing your clothes, getting your
off saddle sores.
You ever picked off a saddle sore?
I've never had a saddle sore that
Don't
bad.
Don't do that, folks. I know someone who's gotten a staph infection from popping and picking a saddle sore and nearly died.
Oh, my God.
How would you like that? Not only you get admitted to the emergency room and they see you're a cyclist, so you're already a second-class citizen, and then they say, oh, you got a staph infection from picking a pimple on your taint? What is wrong with you people? So, yeah.
That's why they hate us.
He broke the previous record by 1 day, 17 hours, 49 minutes. That's nearly 2 days. I don't quite comprehend that. That's a huge, I mean, people are getting so fast. And his strategy was to be super aero. As you see any photo of him, you see that he's got like no frontal area. He's young, so he recovers really quick. A lot younger.
He had
people.
Aero socks, which I think had a lot to do with
it. You save like 18 watts with aero socks. I mean, everything adds up over when you're going nearly 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Over, fair. You know, that's, there's fair. A lot of, you know, aerodynamics do play a big role at that.
Yeah.
Speed.
He had like the stuffed, like the, things, your front yeah, stuff yeah, down yeah, for more aerodynamic like air, stuff. Yeah, like he had like his right. jacket up there. Mm-hmm. There was like some issue with his rear rack, which is like one of those tail fin. It looks like a fork.
Mm-hmm.
But, the screws popped off like on day six or something.
The French don't know about Loctite.
They keep it loose in France.
They keep it loose in France. So, you know, pretty dang impressive. I guess he had his brother flew out from France to meet him at the, because as these, it's, you know, interestingly enough, when you have a race and ride this big, when you get to the end, especially if you're the winner, because you're like so far ahead of most other people finishing, that there's oftentimes nobody waiting. There's no one but like a border patrol agent waiting for you at Antelope Wells. So you ride 238 miles a day for 11 days and you're greeted by border patrol. So yeah, his brother was waiting for him there. Pretty cool. So hopefully he's having a nice time recovering. Again, being young, that makes such a big difference in how little you can sleep and how quickly you recover. So this is quickly, you know, as overall, as we've noted, the Tour Divide is, you know, most of the people at the Grand Depart are, you know, of a certain age, 50, 60, 70. But as far as the racers go,
we don't know anymore.
We don't know anymore.
Things have changed.
So it's just everything is becoming optimized. We're learning not only in professional road racing, but in all bike racing too. Optimization.
Yeah.
We are maxing.
Because of optimization maxing, this year we had three broken records. We had the men's record broken.
Yeah, tell us about the women's record.
We had the women's record broken by homegirl Megan Hakkinen. Hakkinen. Why do I have such a hard time saying
Hakkinen.
It? One more time now.
Hakkinen.
Come on now. And then we had the single speed record broken by Felix Labarge.
We haven't confirmed that that's another Frenchman, but the French are taking over America.
It kind of sounds like it. It kind of sounds French, but I love that name, Felix. But let's talk about Megan. Megan Hakkinen. Hakkinen.
A Canadian, which is also French adjacent.
I think she's from the other side of the French bit of Canada, but I could be wrong because it's hard. It's just,
you never know with Canadians. Yeah.
But her training was kind of fun. She did like all of the pro sports stuff, like, you know, had elevation training.
Oh, she did an elevation block.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Wow.
She had a really like nice looking bike too. She was she was on a suspension forked salsa Warbird.
It's a clean looking bike, especially for a salsa. And I will
Warbird.
Yeah, we'll also know. I can't believe we haven't gotten a newsletter from Jan about the tires yet too.
I know, because Megan was on Jan Heine's tires.
On some rennies. And you know.
The one that was actually designed for the Tour Divide, because mm-hmm. Jan be liking all of that, those really intense stuff. But anyway, let's get back to Megan and not interrupt Megan's glory with some fucking dude. Anyway, so Megan had spent like all of this time training, because she did this race in 2024 on a rigid, wanted a little bit more like arm, not have her arms be so sore. So she went with suspension fork this time. She did a mix of high intensity intervals, strength training, did like the indoor trainer back in the Canadian winter, it says on bikepacking.com. If you want like more in depth, if you're really a Tour Divide nerd, like I guess Ronnie and I kind of are, go to Bikepacking and read all of these very long articles, because they have all of this information.
Great
That's
photos.
Where we're
Great
getting this
too.
From. Yeah, the person who did the reporting on this did a really nice job. So definitely take a look at that, because it is good. She also did a critical 4-week training block in Colorado, living and riding at high altitudes. There's like all of this information about what she did different, like spending less time off of the bike every day was part of her calculation, as well as what Victor did, like which was making sure that she's well rested, well fed. Just really being time conscious. A reason why she's so cool to me is because she's 40 years old and out here breaking records.
41.
She's 41. That's right. She was born the same year I am, but in January. So we've already passed January this year. So big hats off to Megan. She also did the mountain endurance, like three really intense mountain races, like the Silk Road, the Hellenic Mountain Race, and the Atlas. She did all three in 2025 last year. She didn't win them all. She did win the for finishing first in all of them. Yeah. So amazing.
So,
amazing athlete. Love to see her
Megan
win. Go Megan.
Hackney. 14 days, 11 hours. She beat Austin Killip's previous record now previous record by 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So she averaged 187 miles a day at 11.7 miles an hour.
Yeah.
What stands out about Megan to me is the Mapei cap. That. To me, the Mapei cap is a nod to, it's not only the best looking, the best designed cycling cap of all time. You can still pick up some new ones. Apis still makes them brand new. But if anybody is unfamiliar with the Mapei team of the infamous Mapei team of the 90s, it was perhaps the most juiced team ever. And
so they looked good.
They looked wild. Fantastic. So, and also the best kits. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But to me, wearing a Mapei cap, I don't know. I can't speak for Megan, but for me, it was all. Was a nod to the golden era of cycling, which was full of dope.
Yeah.
There's so many different golden eras of cycling, but the doping age was pretty crazy.
Entertaining. Yeah.
I want my athletes to have to set their watch for the middle of the night so they can get up and do calisthenics so that the thick blood in their veins doesn't pool up in their heart and stop. They've got to do, their heart rates can't get too low, you know.
That's true. Only eat popcorn and horse meat, athletes. Don't sleep. So, smoke cigarettes.
Shout out to Mapei. Thanks. Wonder if Megan ate horse meat.
I don't know. I'm sure she ate whatever she felt like
it. That'll come out later.
We
seem to talk about the horse meat diet every other episode. Just keeping that streak going. So let's talk about the single speeder. Another record broken.
That's pretty much all I know about that.
Is that the single
speed record was broken? Maybe we'll do a little bit more on that next week if we have the research.
That was 14 days, 7 hours, 36 minutes. That beat a previously existing record that had stood for 10 years since 2016 by 1 day, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty massive.
Okay,
folks are getting faster even without gears. And you know the whole thing, folks, if you're not familiar with riding single speeds long distances, The whole idea is that you know you're going to have to walk up some climbs, but the simplicity of the, because, you know, your shit gets pretty fucked up out there.
It really does, yeah.
So you don't have to worry about your highly fragile 12 to 13 speed gear range mm-hmm. in the rear and how
small gears, small problems.
Yeah, how terrible that could work in the mud and how you could break a derailleur, all these other things. But you may have to walk a few times and you're going to be spinning out. You know, on the road sections, which I can't take. I can't really do. Have you ever ridden a single speed, or is it only a fixed gear for you?
I've ridden single speed, but not like significant distances.
I could do. Yeah, I can only do. What I never liked about single speed mountain bikes is that you can't ride them to the trailhead effectively and have like the correct gear to ride in the trails. I hate spinning out; it just mashes my taint. I don't mind on a fixed gear. Because it pushes through the other side, but you're not going to do a Tour Divide on fixed gear. I'm sure somebody has. But so, yeah, there's that. People are just getting faster. Gears are not. So,
I've been chatting over text with Samantha, and she wants to try this again. She would want to do it with gears.
Sam Scipio, this is who you have attempted both of your attempts with.
Yep. She is
Team Yin Yang.
Team Yin Yang, yeah.
Yep. So are you thinking about wanting to do this again? All this talk?
Oh, hell yeah. Like I
said. What draws you to this?
It's partly the photos that come out from it and remembering that, like, I was there. There's, like, this, I don't know, a very ethereal pull. It's a soft pull that gets louder and louder in my head. Like, okay, so maybe my bike wasn't right, or maybe my headspace wasn't right. Mm. Last time Samantha had like nerve damage that she had on her hands that was really kicking up. So can't do that. We both need aero bars.
And you guys were averaging like 120 a day or so?
Far less. No. So the training has to be serious. I mean, I'm reading about Megan's training for winning this, and it's like, well, I probably won't do altitude training for 4 weeks.
Well, you are a great candidate for this type of riding because you have hyperfixation, Rain Man. You don't get saddle sores.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind junk food.
I love
your body runs junk off. Food. It runs well off junk food.
Yes,
and
I love junk food.
I guess those are three things that.
And I'm small and non-threatening, so other people have offered me their guns and stuff for protection.
Right,
you
know? Right.
They're like, you need to be protected, small child. And I'm like, I'm a 40-year-old woman. Leave me alone. I don't want your guns. Anyway, that's for later. Let's move on to John's summer picks.
Oh, John from the Radivist.
We're both big fans of the Radivist, of course, and everything they do. But I was just popping through the website as I do normally, and I saw John's 2026 summer picks. This is the actual John Watson's website, theradivist.com. Look through that stuff. It's a bunch of really cool stuff that you may or may not be able to afford. But he loves his cargo bike, of course.
That little barring thing is cool. But we mostly want to talk about the ultra dynamic tires.
Yeah, he loves the Brute.
So we could let that be our ad break for the day.
Yeah.
Ultra Dynamico Brute 700x53. Get them now at ultradynamico.com.
Ultra Dynamico.
That camping Nolo cutter by Winter Cutlery, who makes swords.
Like legit swords.
Like I would love to. I will pay top dollar for it. Most things that say Camping Nolo on it, but this thing is like a honed down Camping Nolo peanut butter wrench, which is how you tighten your cranks with it.
Yeah.
And so that's already like a coveted
pretty
item.
Rare.
That's a very rare item. Yeah. So to you better know a pretty good sword maker if you're going to pound a campy peanut butter wrench into submission and make it into a knife. And that guy knows how to do it. So nice picks, John. Thanks for including
us. Really good book recs. Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula Le Guin, 1969. It is What's Up. Ursula is one of my favorite authors.
I have seen a lot of Ursula in the bathroom.
Yeah, she's an anarchist feminist writer. Just passed away recently. Was just a source of lots and lots of sci-fi inspiration.
Yeah. And so, then, yeah, of course, all of John's sci-fi obscure black metal, which he is very much a purveyor of.
Very much into.
Yeah.
So a lot of love to that. Radibus, become a member. Independent journalism is important, as we know.
Yeah, as we know, with all of these sites that we're referencing, Escape Collective included. There's great stuff out there. If you're willing to pay a little bit, like, you know, a lot of cycling, I know all cycling websites, like if I go on like Cycling News or or Velo News, I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, but you just get, I don't go on these sites because you just get bombarded with advertisements and mm-hmm. I don't even, there's so many bots to click on. I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
He gets confused to be with his other AI friends. Yeah. Ron is AI. That'd be this perfect.
Yeah, I will pee in your water bottles.
He's peeing in your water bottles. He's dyeing his hair.
Yeah. Let's wrap up the headlines there. I think that's about 15 minutes as we had planned.
Yeah.
Oops, I should check. Make sure we're actually still recording here. Yes, okay. Oops. Yeah, no, that's 31 minutes. Okay, well, I wanted to do a real quick saddle picker because after we did our brief saddle episode 2 episodes ago or 3 episodes, whatever it was, I had a lot of questions from people saying like, oh, I've got this sort of bike. What saddle would you recommend? Blah, blah, blah. Not blah, blah, blah. They were insightful questions that I enjoy reading and answering, but it's easier for me to answer live on the air at WKY Jelly as we are right now. So I wanted to just give, you know, as many of you know, the alt bike saddle of choice is a leather saddle. Okay. A hammock style leather saddle. This allows you to ride in your normal clothes. It's hard to ride in your normal clothes people can do it. I'm not saying you can't, but it's hard to ride in a saddle designed to be used with a chamois, mm-hmm. which is a hard plastic with the foam on top. Mm. So, I mean, by default, right? That leather saddle, if you could ride it without a chamois, that's pretty much the nectar of alt, is it not? Alt cycling. I mean, you know, so I mean, the way I look at it, it's kind of like the inception right there.
The nectar of alt.
So, you know,
lives between your legs.
There's three notable. Oh, we have someone at the door.
Yeah.
There are three. Okay. While Aria gets the door, I'll continue talking. We have three notable. Oh, they're picking up your packages, folks, if you ordered at ronsbikes.com. There are three notable leather manufacturers of choice with cycling saddles, okay? That includes Giles Bertund, however you want to talk about it. That is a French manufacturer, been around for a while. There is, of course, Brooks, Daddy Brooks, been around for a very long while. And then you've got Cycles Ideale, which is another French manufacturer.
Ideale.
Ideale. I've spent a lot of time on all three, so that's why you should trust me.
Obsessed with saddles. And you don't get that many saddle sores either. Like, when you do get them, it's usually in, like, the later part of the summer when you've really been...
I've got to keep it clean down. Yeah. There. I've got to dunk. After every ride, I've pretty much got to dunk in the water. And if I'm touring, I got to cauterize over the open flame. Otherwise, I do get saddle sores. Yeah. That's been an ongoing thing for me. And that's why I won't do rides like the Tour Divide. It's because saddle sores are a big issue for me. Not a big issue. If I'm going to ride every day, they will happen. If I'm going to ride 238 miles a day, I would have a staph infection. So the use case for your saddles depends upon your handlebar, folks. Your position. Is it a level, almost level with the saddle? Is it above the saddle? Is it a low bar? Okay, so if it's a handlebar that is level with the saddle or above the saddle, unanimously go for the B17, the Brooks B17, the classic. I would recommend the Utmost if you weigh above 150 pounds, because the newer Brooks leather does wear out a little quicker, breaks in quicker, but it does wear out quicker. And if you got an upright position, you're putting more weight on the saddle, less weight on the handlebars. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend a thicker leather. because there's more weight on the saddle. You could do the cutout, which is the imperial or the carved of the Brooks. But again, that saddle is going to wear out a little bit quicker because there's less leather on there. So it's going to stretch a little more. Again, if you have, if you don't have a problem with your saddle being really long, then I guess that's not big, that much of an issue. But if you do weigh more, I would tend to stay in your saddles, and your saddle is level with your handlebars or slightly below. I would stay away from the cutout. If you are doing, if your handlebars are lower than your saddle, okay, you've got more weight on the hands, I would recommend something a little racier. I like the Brooks Professional. That saddle's been around for a really long time too. It's got a really beautiful shape to it. I don't believe it comes in titanium rails, unfortunately. I wish they would. That would, if I owned Brooks, that would be the first thing I would do, is make all of my high-end saddles titanium railed, including the Professional. Probably I would cut the line just down to the B17 and the Professional for leather saddles. So check out the Professional, an older Professional, even better, the ones you can get off eBay. Those things will last forever. The Aravis Tie is the Bertund saddle of choice there. Those are a very nice saddle. They don't look great. I don't think they look as nice as a Brooks Professional, but that's a very high quality saddle, thick leather. It's going to last you a long time. Going to break in a little bit longer. Like, I wasn't able to ride those for a while because my I just lacked the fortitude on my taint to break those things in. But but I've in recent years, as my handlebars...
Get that taint fortified.
It's true. Get that taint fortified. In recent years, I've been experimenting with racier positioning again, and with less weight on my saddle and more weight on my handlebars, I'm able to ride that saddle. If you use the cutout on theirs, I don't know if they call that a different name, but if you use their cutout, you can't really ride their cutout with standard shorts. It pinches your taint, which is a really strange feeling if you've already got like a little saddle sore forming down there, and then it pinches it and almost wants to pop it for you.
Ooh, taint
talks. So we're gonna call that Aravis Tie with a cutout. We're going to call that thing a pimple popper. We've talked about that a lot today, huh? Already. Yeah. So another option there is the Cambium C13. That is a Brooks product with, it's not leather, but it still is a hammock style. It comes in a cutout. It's carbon railed, so it's nice and light. And I've found that thing to be, especially the carved one, to be very, very flexible and comfortable. Well, that's my saddle picker. I hope that helps everybody.
Oh, that's really good, Jenny. Yeah. Saddle picker, like you're picking wedgies? Or you're making choices?
I'm not wearing underwear.
Ooh.
I'm wearing my tiniest jean shorts.
His taint is getting fortified.
Yeah. But I it's for the look. I wish I would wear loose shorts all the time, because maybe that would help air out the taint a little bit also, but.
Taint talks.
Taint talks. Gotta look.
Taint all bike now if it ain't got taint.
Yeah.
Ain't got taint.
If it ain't got taint, it ain't all bike now. All right. I wrote that on the back of a letter from the bank. So hopefully there's nothing that I need in that package.
Okay. Moving on to...
Where are we now?
Thank you for the saddle picks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
That's going to be really helpful for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I can't relate. I can't relate to anybody because my taint is...
Yeah, back to... I mean, that rolls right into your real-life report backs. Arya is back!
Yep. I'm on a streak. I made promises, and
promises
I'm trying
kept.
My best to keep them. And I'm actually feeling very good mentally because I rode 150 miles last week and then like 85 miles the week before, so I'm kind of,
and these aren't easy miles. These are oftentimes off road. We're talking climbing. I mean,
it's
not like we live in Florida.
Around here. It's not flat, but it's not difficult either.
Okay.
Again, my mental health has been a lot better because of it.
I'd say, I mean, all the things that they talk about with diet and exercise, turns out.
Yeah, exercise is great for people who have depressive episodes sometimes. You know, we've all been through some things, and I knew that I was feeling depression because I didn't want to ride, and it's like my favorite thing for the last 2 years. It's been like ebbing and flowing out. So it's really good to be back.
The last 2 years you've been kind of getting in and out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's been your favorite thing for how long?
10 years.
10 years.
Like solidly for 10 years. I mean, when we were first touring, when I decided to give up my life and tour with this really hot boy I just met 2 years ago, it was just like some of the best healing that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. So concentrated. You're out there alone. I think that's the other stuff I like about the Tour Divide too, is like you're out there alone. You're just kind of with your thoughts. I love that stuff. So this past week, I rode 3 different bikes, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. I rode my Chris Chance.
Titanium Fat Chance.
Titanium Fat Chance.
13, size 13 inches.
It's very small and it's so light and perfect. And it's got like a triple in the front with plenty of gears to go up and down climbs. It's sick. I rode my Cannondale pre-CAD-CAD mm-hmm. for the roadie ride. And then I've been on the Crest Romeo with fat tires that I did the tour on and that beach ride on. It was...
You've
really
had that.
Nice.
You've had that bike probably for nearly
for
10 years.
10 years
now.
Probably, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And I am itching for other bikes now because I love having a stable. Is that what it's called?
A stable of steeds. Yeah, you call it your quiver.
Quiver better because mm-hmm. I have these arrow tattoos.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So my quiver. My quiver.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But isn't
my
that
quiver,
kind of weapons?
Well,
talk?
My quiver makes me quiver.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it.
All right. I like
and it
that.
Does. I got to bite my lip every time I enter that barn.
Ooh. Bow down. Bow down.
I
got to
put on
quiver.
A diaper and, you know, I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right. Jumps aren't landing anymore.
So thrilled to have my favorite riding partner back.
Who's that?
Good question.
it's me. He loves me so much.
I mean, if you are...
I'm in love with an AI bot.
If you have a sweetheart that you get to ride your bike with and spend time on the bike with, it's such quality time. And it's,
QT with the QT.
And it's the best for me. And not only that, I get to just stare at your beautiful body.
That is not AI.
That is... I mean, whatever. I get to stare at your beautiful body, and I get to watch the sensations.
Would you
as
say
they
that my body is a wonderland?
It is a wonderland, indeed. I get to wonder at the wonderland that is your body, and your candy lips and your bubblegum tongue.
Candy lips and. John Mayer is from Connecticut.
Yeah.
We get to claim him.
So
yeah,
I,
it's good to be back.
It's just nice to ride with you. Yeah,
it's really nice.
And it's just nice to have. And I mean, one of the big reasons, I mean, any of you
it's
who have
really
tried
fun.
To balance your love of cycling with the love of your partner, oftentimes if they don't intertwine, it's pretty hard to maintain either one of those relationships. As we know, cycling is a cost-intensive and time-intensive sport,
yeah.
whether it be alt or professional or mainstream.
It does require so much.
I've
lost a lot of my fitness, and like if I didn't have all of those touring miles, like for 4 years, pretty much riding every single day, it's, I don't know, those were my base miles, I guess, and it's hard to access them.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I'm not there yet.
But you are accessing.
I'm accessing.
It's just a matter of time. And, you know, 15 to 30 hours a week is how long you're on a bike as a serious cyclist.
Yeah.
So that's time that you're not spending with your significant other after work or on the weekends. And, you know, it's can be hard to balance. So it's a big up to have your sweetheart also into bikes with you. And that is always the dream as a serious cyclist to find somebody, for me personally, mm-hmm. who enjoys cycling at least, you know, 50% as much as I do, if not more, which is really, it's a really nice thing to share.
Yeah, you're
because
pretty obsessed.
I'm obsessed. But, you know, it dictates the vacations you go on. It dictates the things that you may talk about. Day to day, it's just it's really hard to relate to a non-cyclist like what your cycling life is all about, and to someone like me, it's all encompassing, and it has been my entire life. So. So great to have you back alongside me, sweetie.
Real life report back.
Because I was thinking of that when we were riding back from Niantic last Thursday after riding out there with Troy and Balls for, we did like just on a whim, like 55 mile ride, right?
Fire in the Kitchen pizza.
Fire in the Kitchen, which is the official pizza of the Nutmeg Nor'easter each year. Some friends.
And for good reason.
For good reason. I hadn't had that in a while. Many of you know Connecticut has the best pizza in the world. And I'm telling you, Fire in the Kitchen is up there as far as the best pizza in Connecticut goes.
So, it is the best pizza. Fight me.
Oh, my God.
Come fight me, bro.
So, yeah. So after, getting some pizza at the beach, we rode back home. And it was just a beautiful summer evening. It was probably 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30 by the time we got home. Mm-hmm. Really stretching those longest days of the year. And I just remember looking to my side and seeing you. And
with
just
my little headlamp.
Just being... just overflowing with happiness, because that is, to me, that is the ideal day.
Aww.
And that we get to do that. And we got home to the barn and opened up the back door and just looked at all the fireflies in the lower field.
Yeah.
It was a light show.
Yeah, that was
this
really
is
nice.
Why we do it, folks. This is
balls.
What get this is why yeah, you know this is why really we get nice. Up in the morning, This is life. If you can find these magical moments in life,
it doesn't even feel real.
It doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
It's magical. And so, we have access to that because of the bicycle.
That's why I'm Aria Summer right now, because I am in love with summer.
Oh, well.
Let's go back. Let's go to what's in the bike stand.
Yeah. This is going to roll right on over into your future plans as far as cycling goes.
Yeah.
You're back on the bike. You're thinking about bikes. What are you thinking about?
I am. It's been really nice going into the barn and seeing the bikes that you're building up for customers or yourself, because it gives me a lot of ideas. I have a lot of, like frames or half finished stuff here and there that I really want to put together. I've been riding the same bikes for like over 5 years now, and I'm just ready to have something a little bit different. If I'm gonna keep my bike interests fresh, I gotta keep my bikes fresh.
You gotta spend money, folks.
Get a new bike every 5 years or so. Gotta build the quiver up.
Yeah.
Sharpening this.
If your quiver doesn't make you quiver, it's time to change it up.
Yeah. I mean, my quiver is still making me quiver.
Yeah,
but
you still got some pretty sweet bikes.
I have the sickest bikes, according to me. But I want an Alumax, like a gravel bike that is light. The closest thing I have to that right now is probably the Lightning Bolt, which is kind of like a Randonneuring style bike.
Right, it's low trail. It's different geometry than like a modern gravel bike. It's made more for long distance riding rather than like really rough.
Exactly. I did a tour on the Lightning Bolt with Panniers out west.
Again, being at your small frame size allows for pretty much any frame to be
all roads
strong
lead
enough.
To that yeah, for yeah, me, yeah, I guess, yeah. According to Ron. but yeah, I do want that Alumax like pretty dialed in because
this is the Alumax 2 that we just offered on ronsbikes.com, and we reserved an extra small. We made one extra small, and that is for you.
It's for me. It's there, frame and fork are ready to go. Thank
it's
you,
gonna be
Frank.
Your first. It's going to be your first. I mean, it's your first fat-tired 700C bike. You're going to get to try the new. You could either run the our 45s, the 45 Rosés, or you could run the 53 Brutes.
I'd do the Brutes.
So it's basically going to be like a 32-inch. It would be like me going to a 32-inch.
Yeah. So. I can't wait to roll over some stuff. But I want to try cross racing again since our friend Jeremy's putting on that Mayhem series that's independent of USAC. And definitely not fit at all, but because it's our pal and it's a fun series, I want to do that.
And cross isn't even coming yet. You got time.
Cross isn't coming yet, but
You got time. You put in these.
It's the end of July. 100? I mean, it's the end of June already. I've got 2 months.
True.
If anything, I am concentrated on one thing for like, I just jump into the hot pot and stay there, and then I jump out when I'm ready. So I'll do that.
So you want to build up that Alumax?
I would like want some. Well, we talked about the tires, which is like the first thing to talk about. It's obviously going to be drop bars.
And I'll say it here first, folks. Just gonna push it in there that Ultra Dynamico has a carbon rim brake rim that we are releasing. So I should have my samples this week. I'm going to build it up into a wheel, but it's traditional box-shaped, very lightweight, sub 400 gram.
Are you saying that because that's for me and my Alumex?
Well, yeah, that's...
Oh, my God.
Of course, yeah. So
I just feel like wheels. I won the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes.
Probably put some...
They're coming up the driveway with the leaves of that big check right now for me. That's amazing.
So, yeah, we can build them up with tune hubs, white industry hubs.
Okay.
You know, so anyway.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow. Aria's dreams comes true. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I have that in mind and mostly just saying it so Ron will build it for
me. What's your color? Yeah. What's your what colors are you looking
well,
for?
Well, I wanted to do that Yeti combo color that teal, I really like.
The
teal perp look.
Is that, do we call that teal? I always forget
No,
that.
It's not teal.
Well, it's like hot. It's like a hot yellow fork. And a turquoise green. That's it. It's turquoise.
Turquoise.
To mimic the Yeti ARC.
Yeah. I did want that look, but...
Oh, you're changing your mind.
Because I want that combo, the blue fork and the yellow frame combo for more of a mountain bike.
Okay, gotcha.
Or vice versa. I can do whatever.
Okay.
I can pick the colors, right? So... Well, I'm not sure yet on the color.
Okay. We don't know a color yet. You know what anodized colors you're looking for? This would be basically what I'd be going over with a customer here. So
okay.
This is good. So we start with the frame color, and then I say, what do you want your accents to be?
My accents. Well, it's hard to pick when I haven't figured out what my main color is, right? Mm-hmm. So I really like that lavender, that Fat Chance lavender.
The lavender is... I think one of the best colors.
It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I would want like kind of gray silver accents.
Okay, well, that's easy. It's just silver components. Mm-hmm. But I would do gray silver, but I would add some purple in there, of course.
Yeah.
I would do like the Paul Brakes, but like the purple adjusters.
Ooh.
Or like the purple, like the little bebop bloops you could put in there. There's a lot of like
I want stuff Samantha's heart hangers on there.
And purple.
I have the red and the black here. I really like the purple, red, and gray combo altogether. I don't know.
Purple, red, and gray?
Yeah, purple and red look great together.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, this will be your build.
Yeah.
All right. I would, it's not my, I don't like mixing anodized colors generally.
I do.
Okay. All right.
He doesn't like mixing. He doesn't like it when things mix. Ooh.
Obviously, I do.
But maybe I want this like pastel orange. I haven't thought
okay.
that.
All right, you haven't thought that deeply. We're gonna have to come
I'm
back
still,
to this
because
this is. I feel like our listeners are already bricked
locked
up.
In.
Right, they're bricked up right now.
Okay.
And they
this week
know.
My homework is to think about my colors, the saddle.
Because we got
to
start ordering stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited that I might have the fun new. Wheels. That's really sick.
It's pronounced wheels. So we've got Aria's dream bike builds. So you've got a Sklar hardtail also hanging up there that's
unpainted.
It's waiting for a suspension fork.
It needs
suspension
everything.
Forks,
it's
as it turns out, are really expensive. Like a good suspension fork is nearly $1,000 these days. Last time I shopped for suspension forks, it probably was a Bomber Z2. Marzocchi Bomber Z2 in 2002. I believe those were like $300, and that was the best fork you can get.
Maybe I can find something in the Rad Bazaar on the
Rad just going to look right now?
I mean, they have a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, no, look at all these. There's all...
You can get this fork, Black Mountain Cycles Monster Cross.
That's not a suspension fork.
Oh, whoops. It just looked big. Oh, here we go. RockShox Pike 26, that's not going to work.
Yeah, we'll find some. We'll
but
find
it's in
something.
There, and okay, I don't have to pay $1,000.
Yeah, we don't have to pay $1,000, obviously, because we are bike industry. But if we, maybe,
so, your bike industry, I have to.
You have to ask.
I have to ask.
You have to beg.
I don't have to beg. I would never beg.
So, okay. So that hardtail build is going to be pretty sweet.
Oh, shoot. Whenever I'm getting lost finally on get this.
It. You're getting lost, and we're already at 56 minutes here. Okay. So,
oh, good grief.
That is the end of your dream bike builds. We're going to have to come back to that hardtail.
The end of my dream.
So stay bricked up, everyone.
Okay.
Aria's dream will continue because we got to talk about pro racing, pro sports coasting.
All right.
We've got an incredible 3 weeks ahead of us.
Coming up.
This is what I look forward to every summer since I was a child, is Le Tour de France.
Oui.
Tour de France, as Bob Roll would say. It is, I mean, to me, the tour symbolizes peak summer. Like, summer happens during the tour. And it's over after the tour for me also. There's a it's kind of like postpartum, right?
Kind of a sadness.
Yeah. So it's, everyone seems to think, and with just cause, that Tadej Pogačar will win his fifth this year. But there are some really interesting kind of side quests, or what would you call that? Stories within the story, as far as the rest of the GC goes.
Yep.
There always is. And this I think that the top of this headline, even though we have plenty of tour gossip to talk about, is the biggest piece of tour gossip. All right. So, Namdahl.
Yeah.
Tadej Pogačar, the greatest cyclist, the greatest male cyclist of all time. What, I mean, obviously he's got plenty of, he's got plenty of
pizzazz.
He's got plenty of, what was I calling that? Deals with,
je ne sais quoi.
Deals with other brands that garner him a lot of money and
sponsorships
and winning races and all this other stuff. But his base salary, do you know what it is?
The greatest male cyclist of all time.
Yeah, there's no salary caps in cycling, folks. Okay, so what is his salary? He is a petrol state, UAE.
Yeah, United.
They've got unlimited funds. They could pay whatever they want. So and Tadej is the most high, is the highest paid. I mean, with $9.5 million, million euro. Okay, so that is.
But he's locked into that contract.
So what does Jonas get paid? So his closest rival, Jonas Vingegaard, little baby Jonas, who's actually 2 years older than him. Jonas Vingegaard's salary, €5 million, $6.5 million. So, you know, that's kind of a baseline of what cyclists get paid. I think we've done some comparisons to European football players, and it's like the bench warmers get paid that much.
Yeah.
So it's
the
like
the top footballers get paid like $350 million a year. You know, it's like above and beyond.
So it's not big.
Even
folks.
Like big cycling, big culture cycling is still alt to sports world. Because it is such small potatoes, such small fries.
Well,
because and don't even get me started on the women. They get paid next to fucking nothing.
Don't get paid. They got to pay to enter, pretty much.
I'm getting
so you know, even at, like Aria said, our professional ranks are still alt when you compare it to other sports.
Like Demi Vollering, who is like the main girl in cycling, like made $1 million contract, and it was like breaking news.
And that's with Nike.
Girls, it's with Nike Specialized. Like, it's with that vase too. Like,
right.
And the wins that she has, it's still $1 million.
And her thirst trap Instagram.
I don't think they're thirst trapping,
but you do give me heck when I like any of her posts.
That's not true.
You do.
Well, I guess it's because I'm on Team Kasia. I'm still salty from Tour de France 2 years ago. Anyway,
Paul Sexas, the young Frenchman.
How old?
19 years old, folks.
Jeez.
The longest stage race he's ever finished is 8 days.
Uh-huh.
I mean, pretty untested.
He hasn't even done.
He's not even done a Grand Tour.
Proper Grand Tour, yeah.
So there's already, this is the next great French hope. And he's I mean, he's shown great promise. We've seen him go up against Pogačar, say, in Liège-Bastogne-Liège, for example, where he was the only one that could stay with Pogačar's just relentless attacking strategy. He's 19 years old. There's a lot of bidding wars going around, a lot of rumors swirling around the internet. Well, he's currently with Decathlon Chumachugam, which is the, Decathlon, of course, is kind of like the REI of Europe, for lack of a better comparison. And Dick's Sporting Goods combined. So they can afford to pay him whatever. They're a French team. People want him to stay on that team. So, yeah, we'll see how that evolves. But Tom Pidcock's team, which is, I got to look at it, Pinarello Q36.5, which is a second tier team also, but is owned by a billionaire. We don't ever look into who owns all these teams, because you'll quickly become disenchanted.
It's pure evil. It's like Dr. Evil petting a hairless cat, just being like, we'll give him.
Don't even look into it. Yeah, but Paul, okay, so again, highest paid cyclist, best male cyclist ever, Tadej Pogačar, however you want to say his name, 8 million euro, 8 to 9 million euro.
Uh-huh.
They're offering this 19-year-old who has never raced a Grand Tour before 13 million euro.
13 million euro per season.
Per season? Is it per season?
He's
roughly making, I'm not great at math. He's roughly making $1 million a month.
The mathematician has entered the
Thank
chat.
Thank you, folks.
13 million a year, so that's like what?
A little bit a month. So who knows what that after taxes? I'm sure it's like.
I mean, what's crazy to me is that this huge package was offered to him just based on the fact that he could match Tadej. Didn't even beat Tadej that day, right?
No.
Like just the fact that he could match him.
I mean, he's clearly the next. I mean, we will definitely see this. This tour will show us exactly what this guy's made
of. What do they know?
I don't know if you call him a guy yet. This boy. But he's...
What do they know that we don't? Did he have an American Flyers young brother moment where he did that FTP test or what is it called?
I mean,
the
who knows
VO2
exactly
max test and they were like,
treadmill.
Whoa, he's amazing. Let's give him 13 million euros.
I mean, it's...
Or is it because he's young? And,
well,
like,
he's
moldable?
Young, he's French, he's moldable, and he's shown so much potential already and he knows how good he is.
And being French does have... A lot to do.
Great
with
implication.
It, you reckon?
I mean, the Tour de France is the biggest, by far the biggest, but the biggest event of the year.
Yeah,
and it's
you
in
were
France.
Saying that the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift is more watched
more
than,
watched
the,
than
men's
the men's
Giro.
So
d'Italia.
Even the, which is the which is it's remarkable. We'll have to talk about those stats because, Escape Collective put out a really cool article last week about the viewership of all the races. And it's really interesting to see because it is such a you got to subscribe to three different streaming services to watch professional cycling,
which we do. So you don't have to.
Yeah. Anyway, my big concern with Paul Sexsess is that a 19-year-old to have that much pressure to think that to have a team want to pay you more than the guy that you're tasked with beating.
So then the entire peloton is looking at you. I'm going to beat that little boy.
Beat that little bitch. Yeah. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it
goes.
We'll
see what Paul's made of.
I feel like it's less, cycling is way less cutthroat than it once was. These are definitely nicer people in general.
I feel like they can perform better.
They can perform being nice better.
They can perform being nice better. I do sense, because that's why I got into the cycling, big race watching too, is I thought that the respect, camaraderie, the etiquette, that I really like all of those bits because it's something that you as a culture or community keep yourself. There's no governing body or police being hey, you should wait for Tadej if he fell and you two are the competitors like Jonas did. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Jonas, actually. I know not a lot of people like him, but I like that he's disheveled. I like that he tries. I like that he's kind of boring family. His children are adorable. I like Jonas. Patrick actually saw Jonas on his
train ride, and even Patrick likes Jonas now.
Patrick likes Jonas too. Ugh, God, I knew he would just because he waved at him and was nice. I'm like, that's a nice boy.
Well, you know.
Anyway, I like all that stuff. But, you know Paul.
Paul is, yeah. Well,
we don't know him.
We don't know.
We don't know her.
It's going to be interesting. Like I can't wait. I mean, Del Toro, too, which is the young Mexican star.
Del Toro.
Who almost won the Giro, who should have won the Giro last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is his tour debut, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He is a tour debutante.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've watched him winning for
a few years. Watched him win a stage of the Tour Down Under, which I saw is one of the least watched cycling events of the year.
Yeah, the landscape is not.
But
that
we were there watching. We were watching. We watched Del Toro. We watched Del Toro win the Wollonga Hill
When he was 19.
Yeah, he was 19 too. Yeah. And I remember, Phil Liggett saying, "Remember that name."
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, well.
When he was still,
well, I mean,
remembering names.
Arguably, he did remember Del Toro, and we love Del Toro's victory salute, the bow.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's gonna be cool to see all of these. It's just gonna be. I mean, Remco says that he's at peak form, better than he was last year. Jonas says he's doing well. He hasn't been injured in a while. So I think it's going to be a pretty dang exciting Juan Ayuso is going to be the consummate villain, the bad boy. Juan Ayuso, another young guy, is going to be a young Spaniard, is the leader of the Lidl Trek team. Of course, we've got Quinn Simmons on that Lidl Trek team, too, who'll be flying the red, white, and blue.
I wonder if Jonathan Milan will be...
Yeah, Jonathan Milan, who won the Ciclomino, the Italian national colors. He's the Italian national champion. He won that last weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw the top of his head without his cap.
I noticed the same photo.
I was like, ooh, he's even hotter. He's going to look like Jason Statham. So who was that rider who crashed at the finish line when they were raising their arms for their victory?
That was a big deal. We didn't talk about him. That was weeks ago.
That was funny.
He crashed and crossed the line on the ground.
On the ground before the chasers. And that's why
he may be there. Yeah, he may be at the tour.
I thought that was false success, but
No. So, now, also, if we want to talk more about the French takeover of the USA,
mm-hmm.
our 250th anniversary of being a country, and France wants to start the Tour de France on July 4th.
Oh.
You know? What are they trying to tell us? Next thing you know, they're going to come back and load the Statue of Liberty on a boat and take it back.
That would be okay by me.
You know?
Actually, France. I really like that statue.
Yeah, Lady Liberty.
Yeah, she's cute. She can stay.
But, it's just...
They take our Constitution first.
Right. They took our Constitution.
They took it from us. They upstage us on the beheadings.
Oh, of course.
They're heads of state. Mm-hmm. And now I guess you could call them headless of states.
Oh, man.
Goodbye, Marie Antoinette. And what else are they going to beat us on? You know what I'm saying? They're taking our Tour Divide records.
It's basically...
Are they going to take French fries next from us?
This is all on the shoulders of a young Quinn Simmons.
good luck out there.
So hopefully Quinn Simmons.
Hollywood Hogan.
Well, the opening stage of the tour this year, it happens in Barcelona.
It is a team time trial.
So I guess it's more of Spain taking our holiday, isn't it?
It's okay. The only thing I celebrate on the 4th of July is Cheech's birthday. And
Cheech of Crust Bikes.
Cheech of Crust Bikes.
Birthday.
The CEO.
Born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
So
everyone's darling.
So
happy birthday soon, Cheech.
Opening...
I miss you so much. She don't listen to this.
No. Definitely not this far into it if she does. Uh-uh. So opening stage is the team time trial. Tade's team is incredibly strong, but there are a lot of other strong teams out there, but where most people are expecting Tade to be in the yellow jersey after day one.
Yeah.
The team time trial, I think, interestingly enough, this year is that you're not counted. Like in years past, you're the last person on your team to cross the finish line. That was the time that the whole team would get. Mm. But now it's all individual. So
that's kind of cool.
You can you can, I don't know if you have to finish with your entire team intact. I think your whole team definitely has to finish. I don't know how that all works, but you're going to have to watch to find out. I think that's pretty much it. We're at 1 hour, 11 minutes here, sweetie.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I'm sure we missed something. I think it's going to be fun to have like Patrick as a guest during the tour.
Oh, I would love to have that.
So maybe we'll call him.
Patrick Ultra Tradition of he's the other half of Ultra Dynamico.
Oh, there was that great article up about his bike builds on the Radvist last week.
So
forgot
good.
To shout that out.
So good.
So check out Patrick's bikes and his bike building mentality on the Radivus from last week. And,
Patrick does make a build really, really awesome bikes. Mm-hmm. I think aligned with like the Patrick side of things because he uses modern components and like he's not as what he might call you is like grandpa.
He just doesn't ride Rivendells. I'm more holistic in my appreciation for cycling and he's much more pigeonholed.
If you're the more holistic, then I think holistic needs a new definition. Because
all right, folks. I really hope you've enjoyed this morning with us.
Yep.
Or even if it reaches you in the afternoon, I hope it feels like a fresh spring morning, actually summer morning. Like you just got out of the shower, some Irish Spring.
Irish
Spring. You're just
Ronnie's
cleaning off your saddle
sores.
Ronnie's
spelled now with Ron A-I at the end. Ron A.
So, yeah, I just hope everyone has enjoyed this episode of Alt Bike Now. And we are going to catch you next week. We're going to have plenty of tour stuff to talk about then. And whatever else may happen between now and then in the world of Alt Bike. Folks, this is Ronnie Romance.
This is Aria Summertime.
Hope you have a great week. Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Au revoir. Au revoir.
No, we're at first stage in Spain. I have no idea how to say goodbye in Spanish.
Arrivederci.
That's Italian. Okay,
and
folks.
Formal bye.
Oh, yeah.
Adios.
Adios.